You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Today. And the reason why they noticed, or they should notice, is because of Chris's recent history in assessing quarterbacks. He's usually spot on. He's got Zach Wilson as the best quarterback in the draft, followed by Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Kellen Mond, and Fields, and Trey Lance. Sims will join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to our TV partner Peacock. You can download the app, watch for free all 3 hours, and our great radio affiliates around the country. Sign up for the DP Show newsletter. There's so many things that we're going to have for you as a member of the Dan Patrick Show newsletter. Doesn't cost you anything, and it's really simple. It's available daily. Sign up, go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out. Bottom right corner, you're good to go. We got some specials there for those who are members. Also, we have something coming up with March Madness. We have a lot of things, but you have to be a member. You have to go to danpatrick.com. Sign up, you get the newsletter every single day. Also, tomorrow, a special conversation only available on danpatrick.com on the newsletter. James Caan, Sonny Corleone, talks about Godfather and his role in that movie. It's a wild conversation. It's unlike any conversation I've ever had. It's James Caan. That is old Hollywood. And it's like a pinball machine. I had no idea where we were going, but he's always entertaining. And he talks about his famous scene at the toll booth where he gets killed. He had no easy pass, and he didn't have the correct change. And if he did, he might have seen Godfather 2. But he does have something funny to say about Godfather 2 and the fact that he got killed in Godfather, the original one. So that's tomorrow. It'll be released. James Caan, Sonny Corleone, the Godfather. Poll question, play of the day, stats of the day, all of that coming up here on the program. This program brought to you by the great folks at Built Bar. 16 grams of protein. Low calorie, low carb, and it doesn't taste like packing peanuts. It tastes like a candy bar. To go to builtbar.com, promo code DP20, 20% off your order. A couple of certainties when it comes to the NFL draft and quarterbacks. First of all, it's all we talk about. You could have five of the best offensive linemen of all time and nobody cares. Quarterbacks get all the attention. And because of that, you see all different kinds of opinions, like Chris Sims's opinion. Guys moving up and down in the mock drafts all spring. And this year, former Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, consensus number one overall pick. Now you start to see a couple of experts saying Zach Wilson of BYU. Now you can bet somebody is going to come up. This is how it works. We ran out of nice things to say about Trevor Lawrence. Now what do we do? Anybody? Anybody? You know, I like Zach Wilson a lot. Do you like him more than Trevor Lawrence? I can. All right. Not that Chris Sims is doing that to troll us, but you're going to hear about Zach Wilson. Then next week, you're probably going to hear about Zach Wilson, the Coastal Carolina game, and he's not as great as everybody thinks he is. Like, Mac Jones keeps moving up and moving up. I just saw where Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith both said they preferred Mac Jones over Tua Tagovailoa. And I went, where's that coming from? It almost feels like those wide receivers at Alabama are going, how do we help out Mac here? And they did. They gave him a ringing endorsement. Yeah, McLevin.
I have a theory that Tua called them and told them to say that. I have no basis on this, but it just seems so orchestrated that they would never, you know, sell out their old quarterback for their new quarterback. I've never heard teammates do that. So Tua probably said, hey, let's help out this guy.
Well, Saban could help out too. It's good for the program if Mac Jones is a top 10 pick. But this is 2 weeks ago where, you know, my source said, hey, Mac Jones is moving up. And Zach Wilson was the other one. So they internally, this is the conversation that's going on. And then you'll get these mock drafters who go, hey, I'm hearing. Well, that's when the real people who make the real decisions are giving you a real opinion. And that's where Mac Jones started to move up. Justin Fields dropped down. Trey Lance was sort of neutral. And now you're finding Kellen Mond of Texas A&M is moving up. Zach Wilson moving up. But this is what happens. It's a roller coaster of hotness. That's what it is. It's, hey, I don't have anything else to say about this guy. What about this guy? Like Mac Jones you'll have people who will now come up with things that are negatives about Mac Jones. That's how it works. Hey, this is great. He's great, 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 great. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm hearing, you know, he didn't get a good grade. Like, that's what's going to come out. That's how it works here. Justin Fields, the opinions about him are all over the map here. And my source said the people are overthinking Justin Fields. And Chris Sims has him fifth on his list. And, you know, good luck figuring out what is real and what's not, especially at this position. And this has always been what I've tried to say about mock drafts. I love them. I read them. But I don't believe them. I like to get opinions. I like to get what teams' needs are. And then maybe you can match it up. But it's rare where somebody is going to have a mock draft and they get more than 10 right in the first round. I mean, they'll get the players going in the first round, but they won't line up the teams. Because all it takes is one outlier. All it takes is one team to go, we're going to shock everybody. Like Jacksonville taking Blake Bortles. That shocked everybody. Nobody knew anything about that. Nobody saw that coming. By the way, Chris Sims did not like Blake Bortles. He ranked him 70th of active NFL quarterbacks. So if you do the math, that's the starter and backups for every team and then some. Blake Bortles is, I think, still in the league, but I don't know if he's thrown a pass since then. He was a backup with the Rams. So Sims will join us coming up. A couple other headlines here. By the way, Frank Caliendo, the great comedian, will join us next hour. He helped recruit J.J. What? And I said this to the Danettes, they're like, is this a real story? And I was told Frank Caliendo was part of the recruiting pitch along with Blake Shelton from The Voice to get J.J. Watt. J.J.'s never been recruited. He was a walk-on at Central Michigan. J.J. hasn't been recruited before. And I think that's what they kind of tapped into. You know, the owner picks you up in his private jet. I got Frank Caliendo probably impersonating John Gruden or whoever else. Blake Shelton's all fired up. DeAndre Hopkins, his former teammate, J.J. Watt's like, it's nice to be loved. So we'll talk to Caliendo about that. Lions head coach Dan Campbell is going to join us in the final hour of the show. Now, there's a couple things you're going to have to understand when we interview Dan Campbell. He's not allowed to talk about the Jared Goff trade in Matthew Stafford.
What Jared Goff trade?
Exactly. They're not, because it's not finalized. It's not going to be finalized until midway through this month. We've been talking about it for a month. He can't officially talk about it. So I have to deal with hypotheticals. I have to act as if Matthew Stafford is still on the lines. This will be a challenging interview, but it could be fun with Dan Campbell. He'll join us in the final hour of the program. Nets roll the Rockets. James Harden returns as a triple-double. I don't know if there was any real one way or another boo, yay for James Harden. They beat the Rockets. They should beat the Rockets. The Rockets are terrible. Tonight, Warriors Suns, college basketball, Texas and Oklahoma. The Jets GM, Joe Douglas, has opened the door on Sam Darnold being traded. Here's Joe Douglas on taking calls about Sam Darnold.
I will answer the call, you know, if it's made. As it pertains to Sam, I mean, Sam's a, we think, a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But, you know, like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
Okay. This is just full transparency now. You know, it's like Russell Wilson's agent. Hey, we want to stay. You want to trade us? Here's four teams. The Lions just said, hey, we love Matthew Stafford, but time to move on. Who wants him? The Eagles tried to do this fraudulently. Hey, who wants Carson? Everybody wants Carson Wentz. No, nobody wants Carson Wentz except for one team. No, they do. They tried. It didn't work. The Jets just opened the door to say, we love Sam Darnold, but... And that's what you need to do. Because as much as I think Sam Darnold is a starter in this league, if I'm the Jets, I want to hit the quarterback reset button. And if you say Zach Wilson is the guy, or somebody wants to give us a boatload of picks and they want to go up there and get that, you know, number two pick overall And maybe down the road, you know, maybe down a little bit further in the first round, we can get our quarterback. Maybe you can trade Sam Darnold. Maybe the Texans would be interested in Sam Darnold if they send Deshaun Watson elsewhere. There's a lot of possibilities here. But you're finding a little bit more transparency, because normally at this time, I don't listen to anything that any of these GMs have to say. I'll listen to the scouts. That's who I listen to. The team's got an agenda. There's no reason for them to tell you the truth. Yeah, Paulie.
It's fascinating, though, with Darnold, because he's both attractive to them because they could trade so much. They could build around him. And then there's still the Deshaun Watson thing. Everyone thinks that that team should trade for Deshaun Watson and break the bank for him. So the Jets have like three things going on.
And that's why when we talk about the possibility of, could Russell Wilson end up with Dallas? He could, but if I'm Seattle, where am I going to be drafting? Let's say Dallas gave you three first-round picks, and they have, what, a top 10 pick this year?
I think they're 10, right? 10, or something around
overall.
There.
And then you're probably going to be taking a pick in the 20s after that. Down, you know, let's say next year or the year after, whatever it might be with your first-round draft picks. I don't want to trade with Dallas. I want to trade with the Jets. I want to trade with somebody who's not any good. Like Carolina is who I would want to trade with. Texans I want to trade with. The Jets I want to trade with. Bengal. Like, you want to get, if you're going to get draft picks, like I can get a first-round draft pick that's 28th. Hey, you got a first-round draft pick. It's 28th. Or I can get a first-round draft pick. Hey, it's third overall. That's what you want. And if I'm Seattle and I'm trading Russell Wilson, do I want to trade him to the Saints? They're going to be good. Dallas will be better. Chicago, I'm not quite sure, but he's going to make them better. Then you're betting on Russell not making the Bears better. And then there's the Raiders. That's what. So if I'm going to trade him, do I want to trade him to those four teams? And that he has a no trade clause. Like Deshaun Watson, if I'm trading him, I got to trade him to a team that I don't think is going to be good over the next 2 years, even with the player we're trading away, because I don't want the 28th pick. I want the 8th pick, 5th pick, 3rd pick. That's where you make a difference here. But we'll talk to Chris Sims. He'll join us coming up. Yes, Don.
When we talk about teams playing games or whether they're telling the truth or not leading up to the draft, what do we make of Mike Mayock pounding the table for Derek Carr? We couldn't be happier with him. So is that, are they all in on Derek Carr?
Well, I think he's got to do that because there, you know, you have Russell Wilson saying, here's one of my four teams. It's the Raiders. You have Derek Carr's brother, David Carr, NFL Network analyst, who said the other day, if I'm any of these four teams, I'm calling Seattle yesterday. And I don't know if he realized in the moment that his brother is still the quarterback with the Raiders or his brother wants out. But Mike Mayock, the GM of the Raiders, is going, yes, I'm going to pound my fist on the table. Derek Carr's our quarterback. Okay, that's great. It's like San Francisco can tell me everything. You know, we love Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, that's fine. You love until. That's the way I look at it. You know, the Matthew Stafford situation, Lions loved him for over a decade. I'm sure the Vikings love Kirk D. Cousins. But if they could trade him away and get a haul of draft picks, then they'll do that. Seattle loves Russell Wilson, I'm sure. But Dallas loves Dak Prescott. You know, the Patriots loved Tom Brady. And then they didn't. Green Bay, we love Aaron Rodgers. But we're going to take Jordan Love. That's how it works. It's all temporary. This isn't everlasting love. It's not a Disney ending. We love him so much until, oh, good God, did you see that guy? We love him a little bit more. Yeah, see.
It's kind of what makes the criticism of Deshaun Watson so funny. All of a sudden he's taking his power back too. And the team only loves him as much as they do until they find the next guy. Like you're saying, every team falls out of love with their guy. But we demand this supreme loyalty from the player that, what about the fans?
Yeah.
What about the people who paid for your jerseys?
It's like the Patriots. They love Cam Newton. Okay. Until they draft Mac Jones, until they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? It's transactional. Love is transactional. That sounds like a t-shirt or a movie. Yes, Polly.
I'm looking at the NFL draft order, and these are teams you would think would be set at quarterback. The Jets at 2. Sam Darnold, young guy, under contract. Nope, they're not. Miami, they have Tua, but they have the 3rd pick in the draft. They're not set. Look at Detroit. Detroit just got Jared Goff, but anyone think
Well, not officially.
Yes. For our purposes here.
Yes, for today, they didn't get him
yet. I hear they're going to get Jared Goff, sources close to me.
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest the Lions should trade for Jared Goff.
But if the right quarterback falls to 7 and Detroit is on the clock, they've got draft picks from the Rams. They can move on from Jared Goff in 1 year, financially, and they could draft a quarterback and reset the clock.
Well, the Eagles are looking at a possible quarterback with their 7th pick overall. Carolina's looking at quarterback. Denver's looking at a quarterback. The Niners got to figure out what they're doing with the quarterback. There are more teams who don't have stability at their quarterbacking position. Like you think they do. You think Seattle's got stability, right? Maybe not. Feels like Russ wants out of there. Dallas, are they all in on Dak Prescott? Washington football team. Even the Giants with Daniel Jones, this feels like his make or break year. Chicago Bears, who do they have? The Saints, we don't know. We don't know if Breeze is coming back. They're giving it to Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. Like we know Tom Brady's coming back with Tampa Bay. Atlanta, I think Atlanta might surprise people and make a trade to go up and get a quarterback. I mean, they may go up even higher. That's why you start to look at these situations and you go, it's all very tenuous. Like the Patriots situation, what is the genius Bill Belichick doing? He's sold on bringing Cam Newton back? Okay. Now, in fairness to him, and I did think he did a pretty good job. Now, I can blame him a lot for being a GM, but as a coach, I think he did a pretty good job. He lost defensive starters, and they hung in there. They hovered. They were competitive. Just Cam wasn't good last year. Yeah, McClevin.
All those make sense, but really the Lions, they could bring in 25-year-old Jared Goff. That one would be surprising to me.
Well,
but you're right.
No, but that, I mean, Paulie suggested that. I don't know anything about that, but I will say that they can get out after this next season.
Can you imagine you have to talk about the impact on the starter, like Carson Wentz. The impact of drafting Jalen Hurts, like if you bring in a guy, though, don't you affect the starter?
I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's teams, Washington and New England don't even have a quarterback on their rosters. I don't know what the heck they're doing.
Well, Washington does. Taylor Heineke.
Yeah. But I mean, is there any word about who's starting there? I haven't heard much at all.
Kyle Allen is, I think, still on the roster. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Washington football team, I'm listening. I'm interested.
Is that like a Mariota, Andy Dalton kind of bridge quarterback guy?
Heineke. I don't know. You know. Marcus Mariota feels like, hey, what about Marcus Mariota? Okay. Is Philadelphia interested in Marcus Mariota? You know, it felt like the Patriots were interested in him for like 24 hours or something. It's crazy. You know, Teddy Bridgewater. If Carolina indeed called the Niners, or the Niners called Carolina about Teddy Bridgewater. It's crazy. It is the wild, wild west. This is the transfer portal with money. That's what the NFL quarterbacking situation is right now. It's like, I don't like what's going on here. I'm going to transfer. That's what it feels like Russ wants to do. Deshaun Watson wants to do. Matthew Stafford did. We'll take a break. Chris Sims will tell us how many quarterbacks are drafted in the first round and why he thinks, what does Zach Wilson do better than Trevor Lawrence? Chris Sims on loan from Pro Football Talk will join us coming up next here, 21 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Discover something brighter. Discover cashback match only by Discover Card. Any credit card can offer cash back, but Discover takes it to a new level, matching all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. So you get that birthday card shaped like cash, and it's full of cash. It's your first year cashback match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Once again, cashback match only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Players Championship will be held March 11th through the 14th. TPC Sawgrass, who will have this year's defining moment, you can watch on Golf Channel and NBC. I mentioned Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith. Both said they prefer Mac Jones to Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know if this is pre-planned to help out Mac Jones, but it seems a little bit odd. The question was barely finished before Devontae Smith answered Mac Jones, Albert Breer wrote. He was bold and definitive about it, as I heard it. And, of course, it's logical to some degree. I like Mac Jones, Waddle said. Both are great quarterbacks. I love Mac. He was a guy I came in with from day one. We were on the third team together, worked our way up. All right, there's loyalty there. I get that. But there's one thing to say you're loyal to somebody. It's another thing that you're going to co-sign on somebody being better, or I guess a better teammate than Tua. Let's bring in Chris Sims, the popular Chris Sims, the much talked about Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, former NFL quarterback. By the way, if you're going to put out a sizzle reel of all your great predictions, just let me know, because it's basically every appearance that you make on this show, okay?
Well, you're right. I mean, well, that's why you're the man. That's why we're best buddies. You know, you've always given me love and let me talk about these subjects, and it's not just one answer, and we move on. We get to deep dive into it, and that's why you're a legend in my book there, big guy.
All right, how did you prepare this list of your top quarterbacks? And I was curious about the list, because I don't think you go into detail of how many are going to be taken in the first round.
Right. Well, I think legitimately the one in my list, just so everybody is out there, and listen, if you want to hear my breakdown of everything, my Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast, I did an hour and a half podcast where I really got into the nitty gritty stuff, right? But I legitimately look at all the six guys, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Taylor Mond, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance, as having elite traits and being first round type talents. Trey Lance is the guy I look at that could be the one who doesn't get into the first round, and not because of his talent, but it is still raw. He didn't play football last year. The year before that, it was, you know, a controlled environment where there's a lot of games he only throws the ball 15, 18 times. So I think that could scare people altogether, but I think legitimately my top five could all be first round picks.
What does Zach Wilson do better than Trevor Lawrence?
Zach Wilson, I'm blown away by Zach Wilson, Dan. You know, I look at it and look at and say this is an Aaron Rodgers, a Patrick Mahomes, a Brett Favre-ish type guy. You know, one, he's a more consistent bullseye, dead-eye thrower. I mean, and I mean that with, you know, and I love Trevor Lawrence. He's worthy of the number one pick. I know I'm getting a lot of crap about that. I'm not trying to make this about, oh, he's not good. There's a lot to love about him. But Zach Wilson, it's just every ball is a perfect spiral, on the money. All the plays that are there to be had for ease and completions, he really never misses. And then it's the plays when there's nothing there that he is really special and able to create and buy time and make unbelievable plays with his arm and his ability to deliver the ball in magician-like ways like a Mahomes or an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I still go back to the Coastal Carolina game. I know it's only one game, but what I saw was somebody who got really frustrated. didn't hold his composure whatsoever. And really, Coastal Carolina's defense really got into his head. You know, you're not going against Alabama here.
I know.
And he let Coastal Carolina get into his head. And I always want to see what the quarterback does after he's thrown the interception, after you've been sacked.
That was the
one thing that stood out with Zach Wilson this past year. He's extremely talented, but that bothered me, Chris.
I hear you. He's got tremendous passion. I always watch the worst game. I mean, and I'll say is, damn, if that's his worst game, holy cow. There was some unreal throws where I just go, listen, there's not a lot of people on the planet that can do some of that. Now, they had a good defensive game plan. He wasn't totally on his A game. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I don't mind the passion aspect of it and all of that. And then, you know, again, I don't know all of those things behind the scenes. I'm just trying to evaluate what I see on the football field. And even in that game, which was his worst game of the year, it still was really damn good. He made some throws that they had some drops in the game and all of that. And, you know, I understand it's Coastal Carolina and all that. It's not Alabama. But he also doesn't have Clemson and Alabama's offense and things to help him out the same way, too. We have to remember that. So, you know, the competition thing, I hear that a lot. You know, well, it's not the same competition. Well, I understand that. But Trevor Lawrence got to step on the field in every game in the ACC, and they were clearly the better team. It's not even close. So there is some benefits to having that as well. And, you know, throwing into tight coverages or throwing under pressure, you know, I don't really care what level that is. Oh, he's open by an inch. Man, the guy hits the target. Oh, it's a tight window. He hits the target. And he'll adjust according to, yes, the speed might be different in the NFL. Of course, it'll be greater and all those things. But, you know, Phil Simms, the Josh Allens, the Joe Flaccos, the Terry Bradshaws of the world, they came from schools like that and ended up doing okay. So I don't go too crazy with that aspect all the time.
What is Trevor Lawrence missing?
To me, it's just some refining for me. And, again, I expect Trevor Lawrence to be the number one pick. I don't think he's better than Zach Wilson, but with Jacksonville, Urban Meyer, he runs a college-y type offense. I could see, you know, it's a great fit, let alone Trevor Lawrence in that region of the country. We know he's a big deal. He's a big deal altogether. But I think it's more of just the consistency of throwing that I looked at, Dan, that I didn't expect to see. You know, as I turned the film on, I knew I was going to see a lot of awesome plays and all of that, and I really like Trevor Lawrence again. But there were more missed throws and errant throws than I expected to see as I started to go through it. And, of course, hey, his team is really good, and, you know, they have a special way of calling a game where, yeah, you got to worry about a screen to ATN, and you got to worry about a screen to receiver, and then they fake that, and there's somebody open, wide open down the middle of the field. He's awesome prospect. Like I said, definitely worthy of the number one pick. I just think Zach Wilson's a ready-to-go NFL system superstar right now.
You weren't all in on Sam Darnold being the number one quarterback or, you know, even the second quarterback off the board. Here are the Jets at number two. Is this a no-brainer? Zach Wilson's right there for you. Is this a no-brainer in your opinion?
For Chris Simms, it is. I still believe in Sam Darnold and that he could be a successful NFL quarterback. You know, as I always say to Mike Floria, you know, when you're surrounded by crap, you know, you're going to get some crap on you every now and then and smell like crap. I mean, that's just the way it is. So it hasn't always been easy for him. I do think he'll fit that Mike LaFleur Shanahan system and be able to thrive in that. But I look at Zach Wilson and go, he is the perfect fit for that system. He can be Aaron Rodgers, what you're seeing to Matt LaFleur in Green Bay right now. Unbelievable feet, quick release, really powerful arm. Throws the ball on the run better than anybody in the draft. So he has all those things, and I just think, you know, if I'm the Jets, that would be the guy I would go with, yes.
By the way, I hear great things about Mike LaFleur. He's Matt LaFleur's brother, and I hear great things about him. And some even hold him in higher regard than his brother, who is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, he's the real deal. There's no question. You know, my buddy Kyle Shanahan always speaks really highly of him. He's got a little different personality than his brother. You know, Matt up there is a little bit more, quiet and reserved maybe compared to Matt. But I expect the Jets with – I'm a Joe Douglas fan. of course, I'm a Robert Saleh fan. And with Matt LaFleur doing the offense, if they play this offseason right, they're sitting in a pretty position to where if they can turn this team around, then I'd be excited to see what they can do over the next 2 years.
He's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, the former NFL quarterback. I had a scout say that it feels like the analysts are overthinking Justin Fields. Are we overthinking? Did you overthink Justin Fields?
I'll say this. I don't go into this with any preconceived notions. I'm a very casual college football watcher during the year. You know me. I'm all in on the NFL. I'm dissecting games and doing all that to where I'm not going to sit down all day Saturday and watch every game. Justin Fields, again, has some elite traits. First off, he's built like Cam Newton, except he's two inches shorter. His running is better than I expected. You can legitimately have a running attack behind Justin Fields. His arm is elite in as far as its power and his ability to make powerful throws, deep throws, and do all of that. But man, I think what scares me a little bit, Dan, is a lot of open spaces he's throwing to receivers. It's kind of a one-read guy, like, hey, this guy, ooh, he's not open, and then he looks to run, and sometimes if that first guy's not open, he can be a little careless with the ball with what he does after it. And ultimately, the thing that scared me more than anything was some of the games where his throwing kind of fell apart, it, like, really fell apart. Mm. There is some true mechanical issues that need to be worked on for him to be a complete NFL passer. Again, the final four in football this year, it's the four best passers in the game. I mean, it's Brady, it's Rodgers, it's Josh Allen, it's Mahomes. The game is still about that. And that's to where, to Justin Fields, it's going to come into, and I don't get this benefit, knowing the guy at his pro day, can we see improvements on those things that, you know, we see issues with on tape and all of that? But there's just too many errant throws. And out of the group I talked about, he's the worst short ball thrower in the out of the group too. I mean, it's 50-50 on shallow crosses and throws to the backs out of the backfield and all of that. So those are the things that kind of concern me. Again, I think he's a first round talent. There's a lot of elite there, but that's just where I think it needs some work.
Are you all in on Dak Prescott?
Yes. I mean, Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. I'm not going to say he's top five, but I do believe he's a top 10 quarterback, and he has other intangibles that I think are special to leading a football team. So,
but if you were the GM,
yeah,
if you were right. Stephen Jones, what would you do with Dak Prescott right now?
I would sign him up. I would.
Now, long-term? That's where I'm.
Yeah.
Broken ankle, long-term, $40 million a year.
Yeah, that's where I don't worry about the ankle. I mean, that injury, yeah, I don't know if it'll be 100% to start the year, but, you know, my history and knowledge of that kind of injury is, in this day and age, 2021, he's going to be okay. And, you know, we saw how much they declined. He makes more plays than he gets credit for. You know, it's not as sexy as some of the other quarterbacks as far as when he moves in the pocket and makes a 20-yard throw down the middle of the field. It doesn't look as cool as Mahomes and Josh Allen and those guys. But still, the results are there. To me, the thing that I don't know and where I'm confused about it a little bit is just, you know, how much money is he asking for? I am one of those that's like, just because you're the next guy up on the contract doesn't mean you get to be the highest paid guy. And I love him. He's part of my Twitter page, the front thing there. I'm a big fan. But I also don't want to see him take a deal that, you know, crushes his team and then he can't be successful that way either. And I think that's where the problem lays there.
Well, the problem is you got a lot of guys who are overpaid, didn't live up to their contracts in Dallas. And now he'll get all the blame if you know, they aren't successful and they pay him that money. He's going to get blamed if Amari Cooper's not elite or that defense acts like it did this past year.
Right.
Would you trade for Russell Wilson if you're the Bears or the Saints, the Cowboys or the Raiders? Out of those four teams, who should?
I look at the Bears as being the team that needs to make a move. I mean, I can't get behind, like, we're going to go with Nick Foles as a starting quarterback. I can't get behind that. And, you know, even, of course, that doesn't look like they're going to bring back Mitchell Trubisky. But I think of all the teams where I just go, They need it to save their own jobs. Their defense is in a pretty good spot. Matt Nagy's never really had the quarterback he wants to run his system. Like, I could see them being the biggest players for Watson or Russell Wilson when all said and done. That's the team that jumps out to me. Now, you know, of course, what are they going to get back for that and all of that? That's got to be worked out. But I just feel like Russell Wilson in Seattle is over. And, you know, it's over either next year or right now. And it's just, does Seattle have the guts to make the move right now and say the hell with it and let's go on and try to build, you know, for another year or two down the road?
If you're the Falcons GM, you got that number four pick. You got Matt Ryan. What do you do?
I'm going to ride Matt Ryan for a little bit longer. I am. You know, Matt Ryan, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's going to be, what, 35 or 36 this year? He's right there. I look at him and go, this day and age, with as long as the quarterbacks can play, they got a lot of issues and holes on their roster. I would go with Matt Ryan. Plus, I think he fits the system in which Arthur Smith is going to run and what we saw in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, that he can really make it work. So I would go with Matt Ryan for a few more years, and maybe 2-3 years from now, you start to think about drafting that next quarterback.
I think Matt Ryan turns 36 in the spring, Paulie.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep stirring it up, Chris.
You know me. I'm not here to stir it up. I'm not here to stir it up. I have aspirations to be pro personnel, work in the NFL one day, maybe 10 years down the road.
Has anybody reached out to you about being in a front office?
I've had dabbles. I've had little dabbles and just people like, are you interested in this in the next few years and doing that?
Did you send the sizzle reel, send your hype video from this show to this team?
Well, my first interview, it's going to be a part of that. Whenever I get to that, I'm going to, you know, I might bring you in with me so you can just be my hype man in the corner and we can work on that owner. But, you know, I'm not here to, it drives me crazy. People think I'm here to get clickbait and crap like that. I'm more into being right. I like to be right more than clickbait. I don't give a damn about social media. So I work at it, as you know. I'm not always right, but I've been right a good amount of times too, and we'll see where this goes.
The Dan Etzer over there cheering.
We like it.
Like, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I don't give a damn about social media. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy, social media. I haven't looked really in the last 24 hours. I'm guessing
Clemson fans are probably not going to be too kind to you.
Oh, I have heard, you know, from the people who helped me manage my social media, Clemson, Ohio State fans are pretty pissed off at me right now. Yes.
But you're huge in Utah.
Yeah, I bet you I am huge in Utah. You're right. Big time. I'm a star there all the way.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Dan. Be good, man.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, the former NFL quarterback, and his quarterbacking rankings certainly got some attention, that's for sure. And he did announce, I think, he's available to work in a front office for an NFL team. We're back with the play of the day right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Check this out.
Tobias Harris to Embiid. Embiid is pushed by Bogdanovich 9 seconds ago. Dribbles beyond the arc. Fakes a three. Shoots a three. It's up. And good! 5.9 to go. Embiid is tied in at 118.
Embiid finished with 40-19. Sixers beat the Jazz in overtime. That's courtesy of WPEN 97.5, the Fanatic Sixers Radio Network. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive. Supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Energize stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. I was curious about Joel Embiid's season so far. So far this season, Embiid has almost twice as many three-point field goals as he does dunks. And here he is, a seven-footer. He has 37 threes, 20 dunks. Yes, McLevin. Oh, whoa. Oh, okay. All right.
I was really disappointed last night that I couldn't stay awake for his game-tying three-pointer because he was playing the Jazz, and I fell into this deep deep coma in the third quarter because of their Chris Paul movement.
Will you stop?
He took it to Gobert, though, by the way, which I like.
Well, Embiid talked about that. The reporter, Keith Pompey, who I guess was asking Joel Embiid if he was scared of top centers.
Sorry, what one is it?
That one is Joel Embiid.
Oh, okay, I got it.
That's Joel Embiid.
Well, first of all, according to Keith Pompey, according to him, I'm scared of him, and I'm scared of top centers. So, man... As we saw tonight, it looks like I was very, very scared of him. So, yeah, keep talking.
Wow. Calling out members of the media. Yeah, very, very scared of the Stifle Tower there. There was a moment where Donovan Mitchell went off. Like, he was upset, got tossed because of the officiating here. And here is Donovan Mitchell after being ejected from last night's game.
I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know, like we won this game. In my personal opinion, you know, but like I said, I'm gonna give them credit. They won, whatever, cool. But like, it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening. I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. We all are. It eats at me, man. And it's, y'all know what it is. We all know what it is, but it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand.
Is it bad officiating or slanted officiating? Because the Jazz, they talk about the lack of respect from the officials. And I was curious, the biggest differential between a team and its opponent, free throw attempts. Pelicans, they're tops on the list. Biggest differential between the free throws they shoot with the opposition. Then it's the 76ers. Then it's the Lakers, Bucks, Hawks, and then the Utah Jazz. So the Utah Jazz aren't in the top five here. And you would think the team they were playing last night, the 76ers, would have a beef as well. It's shot selection. This isn't any great mystery. If you shoot threes, chances are you're not going to be shooting a lot of free throws. Who shoots more threes than anybody? The Utah Jazz do. If you take it to the hoop, that's why I think the Pelicans are unfairly officiated because of Zion Williamson. He's not shooting jumpers. He's taking it inside. Get to the hoop. Get fouls. Get free throws. Coming up next hour, Frank Caliendo, or as Terry Bradshaw calls him, Frank Caliendo, on the role that he played in recruiting J.J. Watt. Who did he impersonate to get J.J. Watt to come to Arizona? Coming up. Close out first hour with Simply Safe Home Security. The simple part of it, you set it up probably 30 minutes or so. You do set it up. No electrician, no technician, nobody. You order it, order what you need for your home or your office. Comes right to your door. Nobody comes into your house. You set it up and you can choose sensors that you need. By the way, just being a listener of this show, when you order at simplysafedan.com, customize your system, free security camera. Yeah, throw that in. But once you sign up, then that's when Simply Safe brings the safe portion of this. 24/7, they're there monitoring. Anything goes wrong, they'll send the right people out there. No contracts to sign, no hidden fees. You're going to love the monthly rate there that I don't think they've changed it in over a decade. They're here to serve you every single day. That's why they don't lock you into a contract. They're so proud of what they do, and they're there with you every single waking moment. And when you're sleeping, 60-day risk-free trial, nothing to lose. Simply Safe, Dan.